Maine Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your Outdoors Hotline. Meet Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Good evening, one and all, and a happy 4th of July weekend to you, one and all. I hope you enjoyed it, and hope you got a chance to get outside, maybe shoot a few fireworks, go for a swim, although the weather was just a little tad cool, but some of the younger folks down at my place did go for a dip, but I demurred. Hey, by the way, Norm, I meant to ask you, do you raise peas in your garden?
No, I used to many years ago when the kids were at the house, and it was something that they could go in the garden and pick and eat.
Yeah, I used to too, but I haven't for years because there's so much work.
Well, you know? Germination rate really wasn't great either. It was really frustrating. Yeah. So once the kids were out of the house, I said, I'm going to grow something else. But
aren't they? You know, it used to be a tradition on the 4th. We'd have fresh salmon caught by yours truly, and then some garden peas.
Yeah.
And I haven't had those for many, many years, but we were blessed with some fresh peas.
Oh, nice.
Shucked them and had them with a little bit of cream and butter. Oh, they're so good.
Wow.
Aren't they, huh?
Yeah, I just haven't grown them in many years.
Anyway, we digress here, but it's nice to have you all on board. We have a good show lined up tonight. If you'd like to be on our program, the number to call is 1-800-966-1039, and you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, which is 101.3 in Augusta, 103.9 here in the Queen City, and 95.1 down there in Rockland, Maine. The Voice of Maine. And again, the number is 1-800-966-1039, and we're on COVID-19 protocols here, which means that we are all alone in the studio. Yours truly in spacious Studio 7A, and of course, Norm, the engineer, in not-so-spacious Studio B. Anyway, we welcome you to be on our program tonight. It helps us feel a little less lonesome, right, Norm?
Yeah, it's... Can almost hear the echoes in the hallway.
Our guest tonight, I'll introduce in just a second. Now, first, you, as you probably already have figured out, our engineer tonight, the man behind all the controls who helped make this show possible week after week, the sage of Grand Lake Stream, none other than Norman F. Plord.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome aboard.
Take a bow. And, of course, our other engineers, we hope, are listening at home. Mm-hmm. Jim Layton, our engineer emeritus, probably tuned in tonight with Wanda. And, of course, Scotty Bates is probably listening into, we hope. Our guests tonight are, in this order, the first guest will be Rachel McManus. Now, I've never met Rachel. She is a spokesman for a bass fishing derby that's being held at Schoodick Lake, I believe, this coming weekend. Rachel has agreed to join us and give her an opportunity to promote her derby, which is a fundraiser for a good cause, and she'll be with us after the 7:15 break to tell you about her derby. Then at 7:30, after that break, we're going to hook up with a fellow named Greg Serpis. Greg is on the board of directors. I guess he's chairman of the board of directors of Operation Game Thief. Do you know what that is, Norm?
Yes, I believe it's the organization where you can call in anonymously and report.
Yeah, they do a lot of good things. Yeah. They try to raise funds to help the warden service. And, of course, they're doing all they can to battle illegal poaching, bucket stocking of lakes illegally, and that sort of thing. We'll be talking to Greg after the 7:30 break. Want to remind you, if you have an interest or an idea on a guest who you think might be appropriate for our program, we encourage you, get in touch with me. You can email me at V, that's V as in Victor, P-A-U-L, V Paul R, at T-D-S, T-Tom, D-Dog, S-Sam, T-D-S.net. And we're always interested in your suggestions for guests on our program. Right now, though, it is time for Outdoor Digest. Oh, I meant to tell you, too, again, as we said before, because of the COVID-19 protocols, Management for Blueberry Broadcasting wants us to limit ourselves to one in this studio and one in the engineering studio, which is one of the reasons that Bob Lehman, my sidekick for so many years, cannot be with us. But Bob will be with us by telephone from his virtual phone booth over there in Brewer, Maine, to give you a fishing report in just a few minutes. And let's see, it's brought to you, Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Sporting Journal. I want to remind you again, the July cover story in the Sporting Journal is about cougars in the state of Maine. If you've always been intrigued by this, this story digs into the facts on cougar sightings, and we have an interview with, I think, 7 or 8 people who in the past 5 years can attest to the fact that they have actually seen cougars in the outdoors. Pretty interesting story. I think you'll find it eye-opening. Check that out in the July issue of the Northwoods Sporting Journal. It's available on newsstands near you, or if you'd like to sign up for a subscription, you can do so by calling our office during the week at 732-4880. 732-4880. Ask for Alicia, and she'll fix you up with a subscription. And if you're interested in looking at past issues of the Sporting Journal, you may do so on our new website, which is www.sportingjournal.com. And you can check out click on the magazine cover there, and you'll have a chance to look at the entire magazines going back, at least a year, I believe. Check them out online at sportingjournal.com. A couple of things here in Outdoor Digest. Remember, the DOE permit application process has officially begun, and you can sign up. You have until the deadline of August 17th to submit your applications for an any deer permit. Pretty much the same drill as you do every year. One couple of little new twists. They're offering a couple of bonus DOE permits in two different wildlife management districts. One is 26, I think, and I'm not sure the other one, maybe 16 or 17. Anyway, check it out online. You have to do it online. They won't be sending you anything in the mail. You can go to the Maine Fish and Wildlife website, which is mefishwildlife.com. mefishwildlife.com, and there's an online process you go through there, but it's fairly straightforward, very user-friendly. And I applied for myself and also my wife for an any deer permit, and I don't think you'll have any trouble doing so. Also, the Department of Fish and Wildlife has just announced again, I don't know if you've followed this, Norm, but crossbows used to be a persona non grata in the state of Maine, and a lot of other states loosened up and allowed the use of crossbows, and Maine finally has done that. As you know, I mean, a compound bow is not easy to pull back, and for some folks who don't have the ability to pull a bow back for whatever reasons, a crossbow is a good substitute. And the state is now allowing the use of crossbows during the regular archery season.
Oh, during the regular archery season. Okay, I thought it was going to be just during the rifle season.
Well, I think they've loosened up. I hope I'm not misspeaking myself, but wow. I'm pretty sure there's some different rules. I think there's an age thing.
Yeah.
But they certainly are. They've become much more liberal in their attitude toward crossbows. And if you'd like to know more, you can go to the Fish and Wildlife website. You can get a crossbow permit now. I think I got this straight. If you already have, a firearms license, which means you probably had a hunter safety course. Did you ever have to take a hunter safety course?
Many moons ago.
Yeah, me too. In fact, I taught it many years ago. Anyway, if you have had that hunter safety course, you don't have to go to a class, but you can get a crossbow permit by going online and taking the course online.
Oh.
And there's more information about that at the Fish and Wildlife website. But anyway, crossbows are an opportunity. They wanted to remind you the opportunity for you to extend the deer hunting season. For hunters who do not already hunt with a bow and arrow, they also allow the hunter to be more accurate without too much practice, and of course they don't require the same upper body strength that's required to pull back a 55-pound bow. What is the poundage on your bow?
Mine's set at 60.
60, yeah. Have you tried pulling it back lately?
No.
No?
I need to, but...
Yeah, I'm just about barely. I'm going to have the poundage reduced a little on mine, I think.
Yeah, see, the problem is with my bow, 60 is as low as it's going to go.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Mine's 55-pounder. Anyway, check it out. Crossbows are permitted, and you can find out more online at the Fish and Wildlife website. And I think we're ready now to bring in the band. Are we going to bring in the band?
I think we are.
Let's bring in the band right now. waiting for Bobby.
I'm the big boss fast. Yeah. And you work for me. Yeah. This is my rock.
All right, I can't help but laughing. I'm wondering what it's like in your living room there with you singing to the music.
I'm in the phone booth, as you say.
Oh, Alice must think you've lost your marbles, right?
Yeah. Well, she just came up from downstairs. She looked in my phone booth and says, oh, I forgot, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, it was good to see you guys for the 4th. We had a good time, huh?
What a feed we had.
Yeah, weren't those lobsters good? And the corn was fantastic.
And off with that strawberry pie.
And that strawberry pie, that cream strawberry pie.
Oh.
That was delightful. Yeah, we had a good time.
Oh, heaven, you can't buy anything like that, you know?
No, you can't.
Heavy cream, too.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyway, glad to have you on board. Happy 4th of July to you and Alice.
You,
and, of course, Precious, yep. what's going on?
You had a little trip. You caught some nice trout in
we did
a northern pond there.
Yeah, I caught just one, but it was a 16 incher and
what a trout.
It was kind of a fluke, really. Tell you real quickly, we were on a pond that we thought usually it's quite fruitful, but anyway, on a pond it was no wind, very quiet, very bright sunny day. It wasn't a fish rising anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it might have been 2 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty and I in one canoe and Josh in another, and we fished. We tried everything. Everything on top. We tried every possible fly. Scotty, of course, is a nymph expert. He got his sinking line down there with nymphs. He didn't caught anything. And I just happened to try something I never tried before. I found this little motley-looking fly with an ugly green body, just a little tiny wet fly. Uh-huh. Hooked that up, and I put a couple of split shot on my tippet, threw it out there, and whammo, I hooked into a 16-inch brookie.
Wow.
And it was exciting. And then so my son Josh quickly changed his lash up, put on a couple of split shot on a fly that looked quite a bit like the one I had on, and he caught a 14-incher.
Well,
and that was it. And it went dead after that.
They're feeding now. You know, they're feeding. There's a lot of hatches going on underneath the water.
Yeah. Well, we didn't see any hatches on. No hatches on top, Bob. No hex hatches we could see.
Well, you know, we got to have the right time of day, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. We ran
the right time of year too. You know, like right now, fly fishermen should be concerned just about with mayflies, caddisflies, and stoneflies.
Yeah.
You know, the aquatic ones.
We,
of course, those are the basic ones for the fly fishermen, and anything that and they should check a good hatching books or whatever, just so they can match up any one of those that they see on the surface. You know, that has come up and hatched out. And another thing is, there's a lot of terrestrials will start too now. It's grasshoppers time, pretty close to it.
Oh, no kidding!
Grasshoppers,
yeah.
Bees, ants, moths, all those type of things, and they start working.
Yeah.
And of course, the big thing right now is the Hexagenia hatch.
Yeah, we talked to a fellow, kind of a trout bum guy, who's fishes all his life, and he was saying that a couple of the ponds north of where we were had some pretty significant green dray hatches, but they weren't starting till like 9 o'clock at night, just about dark.
Yeah, just about dark.
And he said there were pretty good hatches. We didn't see any green drakes. We did fish the river, Bob. We also fished the Big Eddy on the west branch of the Penobscot.
How'd you do there?
And I got skunk, but Scotty caught a few nice ones. And son Josh hooked into a beauty, about a, I don't know, it might have been a 16-inch salmon on that little four-weight rod, put up quite a fight. It was good.
I should say.
Yeah.
Scotty always gets them. He gets them when they're not there.
Yeah, he is. He's I hate the guy. He's just so good on the river. No, I love him.
Speaking of Hexagenia, you know, I remember going into a Sunkay stream one time, went way up.
Yeah.
Not as up far as we sometimes go nowadays, but beyond the fault road there. And we hit a flowage way up there. And you know there were so many mayflies on the water. It's hard to believe. But I couldn't see the water with flies. Now, that's how thick it was.
No kidding.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that. And you know something? There were no rises.
Well, the trout are probably stuffed, huh?
Either that or they were taking the nymph stage.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
That happens, too.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Yeah. So
anyway.
this cool weather, this kind of temporary cool weather, may prolong the fishing a little bit, you think?
Well, hopefully it will, yeah. But it won't. I don't think it'll curtail the exogenia. I think they've started already. They'll continue right now for the next 2 months, even beyond into August.
Oh, do they really? Oh,
that's a great that. Big 2-inch mayfly that's yeah. kind of a green-yellow yeah. up in the mid to northern part of the country, and then down this way it's more of a almost a yeah. yellow-green tint,
you know,
more yellow than green.
You know, speaking of the green drake, Scotty asked me a question that I didn't know the answer to. He asked me, he said, Dad, do green drakes hatch on moving water, like rivers and streams, as well
yes,
as ponds?
They do. Absolutely.
They do, right?
Yeah, some of the places I've fished, I've sat in a canoe and watched them. Actually, one day I was sitting there for casting in one of the spots you've been with me, and I saw a nymph come wiggling up through, and it hit the water, and it just almost immediately the adult come out of the nymph case.
Yeah.
And it was just a split second, you know, bang, coming up out on the water.
Yeah.
A little drifted along like a sailboat for about 2 feet and then took wing, just like
yeah. They're amazing, yeah. Quite a thrill to see them if you're a trout fisherman, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, anything
well,
else?
You have to be quick.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think there's a little bit of trout fishing time left. We thank you for...
a lot of trout fishing time left, you bet.
Yeah, we thank you for being with us tonight, Bob, and glad to hear that you're almost completely mended now.
Yeah, it's getting there. Another week or two and I'll be 100%.
All right. Okay, and we hope to talk with you next week.
Okay. Good night, fellas.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Take care, Bob. Thank
you.
Yep. Bye bye. Okay. We're going to do a talk with our phone guest here in just a minute. But first, it's time for our outdoor trivia question. Now, you're in luck tonight. This is the first of the month, and you know what that means. It means we're going to be giving you a $30 subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal. And this question, we talked about it before the program. It may be a little tough, but we know there's somebody out there will have an answer. And anyway, here's the question. What Maine lake has two names? One is very short, and one is a Native American name, very long. And if you think you know the answer to that question, you may have trouble pronouncing it, but we won't hold you accountable for that as long as you get the idea. And call us at 1-800-966-1039. We'll be right back. Okay, we're looking for an answer to the trivia question. We want you to tell us, and we're going to give you a subscription, by the way, if you know the answer to the question. We'll give you a subscription to Norm's favorite publication, the Northwood Sporting Journal. The question is, what Maine lake has two names? One is very short. It's actually, I think, four letters. The other is very long, and I can't even count the number of letters, but it's a long one. If you know the answer, good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hi. Is it a Twin Lake and Chamberlain Lake?
No, that's not the correct answer. I'm sorry. Okay.
It's fine.
All right. Thanks for calling. Yep.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. We'll take another caller. Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hey, good evening.
Hi there.
Hi. You looking for the answer on the trivia question?
Yes, sir. What's your first name?
Hey, Mike.
Okay, Mike. What do you think it is?
Is it Ross Lake?
Very good. And what's the long name?
Oh, man, you don't want I don't even want to try.
You don't want to try it. Okay. Well, I rehearsed this for a week.
Letter does it start with?
What letter does it start with, you know?
I think it starts with a C.
Very good. And here it is. Here it is, Mike. Do this with me now. It's Chemqua Sabamtukuk.
Chemqua
Sabamtukuk.
There you go.
Chemqua Sabamtukuk. Try it again.
Chemqua Sabamtukuk.
All right. Very good. Excellent. Anyway, congratulations, Mike. You've won a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal. Are you familiar with our publication?
Oh, I am. And my subscription ran out, so...
Oh, your timing is impeccable. All right, that is the correct answer. Do you know where Chemqua Sabamtukuk Lake is?
Is it in District 4?
Yeah, it's way up there. Yeah, up in Norm's country. A little bit south of Fort Kent.
A little bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations to you. You have won the journal. We'll need your address, and of course, we need you to stay on the line, Mike. And Norm will talk to you and get your address. Okay.
All righty. Thank you.
Anything else on your mind tonight?
We were fishing up north last weekend, and the water was quite warm, and I think that the fish's bellies were pretty full with the hatches going on.
Yeah. Yeah, we were quite, the temperature was pretty, we put a thermometer down on the bottom of one of the lakes. I think it was about 20 feet of water, and I think it was 70 degrees. This is a trout pond, too.
Wow.
That's pretty warm, yeah. But I caught a 16-incher just the same. I was shocked. Anyway, congratulations to you, and we appreciate you being part of our program, Mike. And if you stay on the line, we'll get your address.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, sir. Okay, that's the correct answer. Try that at home. Chemquasabamtookook Lake. And now we know, a.k.a. Ross Lake. I wonder why they call it Ross Lake. And that was the correct answer, and we got an answer quite quicker than we thought we might. Okay, and again, you're listening to Maine Outdoors, the number if you want to be on our program, and we encourage you to be part of our show tonight, 1-800-966-1039. We're COVID safe. You can't get any trouble by talking with us on the air. We're going to be talking in just a minute with Rachel McManus. Rachel is the lady who is heading up and speaking on behalf of a big bass fishing derby that is scheduled, I believe, for this weekend at Schoodick Lake up there near Milo. And it's a fundraiser for a good cause, and Rachel's going to be on our show in a few seconds here to tell us all about it. Then after the 7:30 break, we'll hook up with Greg Serpas, and Greg is on the board of directors of Operation Game Thief, which is a private organization that does everything it can to support the Warden Service and to promote legal hunting and fishing. And we'll be talking to Greg right after that. And then if you have any other things you'd like to bring up here in the show, we welcome you to do so at 1-800-966-1039. We have Rachel standing by.
No, I just got off the phone with the person.
You're going to try to get through to Rachel?
Yes, I'm going to try Rachel.
Okay. Right. Should I do a little soft shoe or sing a couple of songs? All right. And next week, he's going to dial Rachel right now as we speak. Next week, we're going to be talking to Chris Boone. And Chris is a person who has recently seen a cougar or a mountain lion, as it were. And as you know, our paper this month, the Sporting Journal, is carrying a complete cover story about cougar sightings in Maine. And it's quite incredible when you put them all together. How many people, credible people, who have seen these animals fairly close up? And I actually had a call yesterday from a fellow up in Greenbush, and I tried to get through to him. I haven't gotten back to him yet. But he left me a message to the fact that he has a trail camera photo of a mountain lion taken in Maine. So we'll be interested in talking to him.
And Rachel's on.
Okay. Good evening, Rachel.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well.
Oh, good. Nice to have you with us. And we introduced you a little bit before the program started here, before we hooked up with you. Tell us a little bit about you're sponsoring a bass fishing derby at Schoodick, right?
Yes. So July 12th, my key club is putting on a bass tournament, and it's for charity. All the money will be going to House in the Woods in Lee, and we're very, very excited. This is the second year in a row, so we can't wait for the day.
Okay, July 12th at Schoodick, and what is the name of your organization again, Rachel?
It's the Penquist Valley High School Key Club that's putting it on.
Oh, okay. The Penquist Valley Club, high school, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Okay, and you're raising all the funds for House in the Woods. And what do they do? I think we've had somebody from that group on the program, but our listeners may not be aware. Tell us about House in the Woods.
Yes. So they are a veterans retreat, and veterans and their family can go free of charge, and they get to do anything outdoors, really. Hunting, they go on lots of hunting trips, fishing trips. And hopefully our money will be going towards buying a skeet shooting machine for them and for them to set up a nice range so that the veterans and their families will have that to use.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, are you a high school a student?
Yes, I just graduated.
Oh, just graduated. Well, what a wonderful thing for your group to be doing this. That's commendable. Tell us about the Bass Derby now. Are the ground rules for it? This is all day the 12th?
Yep. So it starts, boats start showing up around 4. Blast off is at 6. And it's bass pros from all around Maine come, and we also have a few locals that fish it as well.
Okay.
And so you have to be fishing in a boat, number one.
Okay.
And you have to have insurance on your boat, and you have to have a live well, because Maine law is that we have to release the fish.
Okay.
They can't keep them.
I see. Well, so. That's great. And so this is sanctioned by some kind of a bass group, right?
Yes. Yep. This year we have Bangor Bass Club, Eagle Bassmasters, and Outcast Bass Club helping us.
Okay. And they'll be launching there at Lakeview, is it?
Yes, at Lakeview Plantation.
Yeah, okay. And it's an all-day affair. Are there prizes for these bass fishermen?
Yep. We have cash prizes. First place will be around $1,000.
Wow.
And we also have a Traeger grill and a few GoPros and a Spran bed liner, a hunting blind, and some smaller items as well that we will be giving away.
Okay, and the largest bass wins $1,000.
So it's actually, you have a 7-fish limit, and at the end of the day, you bring all your fish in, and we weigh them all and add up all of the weights and the total combined weight, whichever team has the largest.
Okay, so the aggregate weight of the total fish would be the winner?
Yes.
The most poundage, all right. Well, that's great. That sounds like an exciting thing. That's July 12th, and do they have to register in advance?
They don't. They can actually come and register that day. You just have to bring proof of insurance, and we have to check your live well and your boat and make sure that everything is all set to go.
Okay. So somebody with an old beat-up aluminum boat and a 4-horsepower outboard is probably not gonna hack it, right?
I mean, if you have insurance on that old beat-up aluminum boat and a live well made out of a cooler, then you're good to go.
Okay. Could I use a cooler as a live well?
With an aerator,
It has to have some sort of aerator in it.
That an aerator.
But you can build one. Last year we had a few teams that built their own.
Yeah. Oh, gee whiz, $1,000. That's attractive. Okay, well, that sounds exciting. And do you don't have any idea how many advanced registrants do you have right now?
Right now we only have about 5, but last year we only had 12 the day of, and we actually had 25 boats in the tournament.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll get...
So most come and register that day.
Yeah, you'll get that at least, because everybody wants to get out of the box, get out there on the water.
Yes.
You bet. Well, that's a beautiful lake, Scudic. It's one of the prettiest lakes in Maine. You can see Mount Katahdin there at the north end. And
it's beautiful.
It's a fabulous, fabulous fishery. Well, that sounds like an exciting day on July 12th. I don't know if I'll get up there with my beat-up aluminum boat or not, but if I can figure out how to make a live well, I could use the cash, Rachel.
I think we all could, couldn't we?
You bet. Hey, that's a great thing you're doing, and congratulations to the folks at Penquist Valley High School. Good for you. Hats off
to you.
Thank you
so much.
All right. Nice to have you with us, and are you going to be competing in the bass fishing?
I wish I was, but I actually don't have a boat to fish in the tournament.
Well, maybe I'll take you. You can go up in my old beat-up aluminum boat. We'll try to... But you can't win the $1,000. That would be a conflict of interest, right?
I mean, probably true.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Nice to have you with us, and good luck to you with the Derby.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. Bye-bye. All right. Big Derby, July 12th. That's next weekend, right up at Scudic Lake. Just go to Lakeview, launch your boat, get after that money. $1,000 in prize money. Wow, that's not too shabby. Okay, we're going to take a short break right now. Then we'll be back to talk to Greg Serpas right after this. We probably should have given a prize, Norm, to whoever could pronounce Chem Kwasabamtukuk. That's kind of a musical.
I agree, because when I first looked at it, I said, do I even want to try?
can you pronounce that?
I did pronounce it.
Let me try
it. It's easier to pronounce it if I'm looking at the
all
spelling.
Right, try that.
It's Chem Kwasabamtukuk.
Say it again.
Chemquasabamtuk.
It's pretty good. That's excellent. You did a good job. Yeah. Okay. No wonder they call it Ross Lake, right?
It's a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Okay. Again, if you want to be in our program tonight, the number is 1-800-966-1039. And remember, you have to dial the entire number, even if you live in the Bangor area. And we encourage you to turn your radio down a bit so you don't get that distracting echo. Okay. Our guest, next guest here on Main Outdoors is Greg Serpis from Operation Game Thief. Are you there, sir?
Hi, Paul. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good, Greg. Nice to have you aboard. I've never met you, but I've read your great column in the SAM News, of course.
Well, thank you. I think we've talked quite a few times on the phone, though.
I think we have, yeah. Greg, for the benefit of our listeners, before we talk about OGT, Operation Game Thief, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. How did you end up being on the board of directors at Operation Game Thief?
Well, I've been on the board of directors for quite a while, since 2009, and at the time, the chairman of the board was Chuck Allen, a retired game warden, and I had worked for Cabela's. I was their retail marketing manager, and I was working with Chuck on a sponsorship for Maine Operation Game Thief, and we worked together and got to know each other a little bit, and we eventually built a working relationship, and about 6 months later, Chuck asked me if I would consider being a member of the board of directors, and obviously I was very passionate about that, so it was something I was very interested in. And in 2015, I was fortunate enough to be elected the chairman of the board, and have been since.
Oh, that's great. I think I have either met you or know you when you were at Cabela's, I believe, yeah. Anyway, nice to have you with us.
Nice to be with you.
Yeah, Operation Game Thief. For those who may not be aware, could you fill them in on just what is Operation Game Thief, Greg?
Sure. It was established in 1989, and the vision was there was so much poaching statewide that at the time Texas had a really good Operation Game Thief program, and our commissioner at the time, Bill Vail, took a trip to Texas to take a look at their program to see how it operated and what it did. And essentially what we do is we have a confidential reporting system. We have two ways to report. You can either call our phone line, which is 800-ALERT-US, or you can go to our website, which is maineogt.org, and you can report poaching or overfishing or somebody taking short fish, any type of violation. Your call is strictly confidential, and we would never have anybody. We would walk away from a case before we ever ask somebody to testify in court. And once we get information leading to arrest and or conviction, then we pay rewards for those tips, those anonymous tips that we receive.
Okay, so you would never divulge the identity of somebody who turned in a poacher, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
So that is why our program has become so credible, is because we are very, very adamant about making sure that we protect the confidentiality of it. And we will walk away from a case before we ever have to divulge any information.
Yeah. So really what you're doing is you're having the eyes of sportsmen help the warden service enforce the laws, right?
Well, here's the thing. You're absolutely right, but here's the thing. We've got about 105 game wardens to cover this entire state.
Right.
We've got about 35 or 40 Marine Patrol officers, and I don't know if people realize it or not, but Maine has 3,500 miles of coastline. It's impossible for any of these officers to cover all of this vast land of Maine. So that's why we need sportsmen to be the eyes and the ears to help us out with these tips, and it's really worked out well. This is our 31st year, and we've been really, really successful.
How do you respond to the cynic who says something? Well, you guys, you're paying people to rat on other people. What is your response to that?
I don't call it rat. I I don't ever want anybody to think that they're being a rat. I want them to know that they're being a hero. These resources, Paul, are so valuable and so delicate that we need to protect them. If we're going to keep this state the way it is and we're going to be able to pass this tradition on to our kids, we have to protect it. Now, I'll give you an example. Last year, the Warden Service reported that there were 50,000 deer that were legally tagged in Maine.
Wow.
Now, I want you to think about that. 50,000 deer. Now, the game wardens and the biologists, some of them also believe that the same amount of deer were taken illegally. Now, let's say that they're wrong, and it was only half of that amount, which is 25,000. That's a lot of deer, Paul. Now, if we're going to manage this resource, we've got to have accurate numbers. And if people are going to poach, we've got to stop it, because this resource is so delicate and so precious that if we just let it go uncharted and unwatched, we're gonna eventually lose it. And, you know, the outdoor industry brings, you know, billions of dollars to us annually. I mean, when you think about folks traveling from out of state, the lodging, the fuel, the food, the restaurants, I mean, it's a big, big boost to the Maine economy. And we've got to balance that. It's got to be run so that we can sustain the resource.
You bet. Now, is there any way they actually can quantify the number of deer taken illegally? I mean, is this just an estimate? How do they arrive at that? I find it hard to believe that 25,000 deer are poached in the state of Maine. But do you have, is there some way to, is there some empirical evidence of that? How do you arrive at that figure?
There really isn't, Paul. Now, remember, I said to you, they estimate that that's what it is. We know that poaching happens. We know that poaching is going to continue to happen, and we know that there's no way that it's going to stop. Now, the reason that it's a problem is because, you know, 50 years ago, somebody may have poached, but it was to feed their families. And that is not necessary now. I mean, there's plenty of help out there for folks if they need it. What we find is that the majority of poachers that we catch are either thrill seekers that are in it for the thrill kill, or somebody that just sees like a trophy buck and they just could not help themselves. They had to take a shot. So, I mean, these are the types of people that we are finding that are violating these laws. So this is simply an estimate. But even if it's only 10,000 deer, Paul, it is way too many deer. We cannot manage the herd if we don't have accurate numbers.
You bet. I want to talk to you more about this. I have to take a short commercial break, Greg. Do you mind hanging on?
Of course.
Oh, thank you very much. We'll be, again, if you have any questions for Greg, we encourage you to do so at 1-800-966-1039. I want to remind you at this point in the program again that we're sponsored in part every week by General Appliance and Brewer. They're the place to go for all of your appliance requirements. It doesn't matter if you're talking about gas ranges, gas refrigerators, or gas freezers, or top-of-the-line compost toilet.
Ride your wave, baby. I was waiting.
I know you were waiting. I tried to catch you on that one. Anyway, General Appliance and Brewer, they carry a complete line of both new and used appliances. And L. Elkin is the owner-operator over there. Great person to do business with. He's a fair man. He'll treat you great. And he stands behind everything he sells, installs, and services all of those new or used appliances. They have both electric and propane. They also have a complete line of gas lights as well for your camps. So check them out. They're at 91 Center Street in Brewer, and you can call them at 989-3714, or if you'd like to stop in and visit Al, you can do so at by crossing. If you're coming from Bangor, you cross the old Bangor Brewer Bridge, take a right and then an immediate left. And he owns a piece of that block right in there. You'll see his big sign. General Appliance in Brewer, 91 Center Street. And they have my book and Bob's books on sale there as well. General Appliance in Brewer, we patronize them, all of us here on Maine Outdoors, and we urge you to do likewise. Are you still there, Greg?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you for hanging on. We appreciate that. One of the things I want to ask you about is I was reading Paul Doiron has a new book called in his series, The Mike Bowditch Game Warden. Have you ever read any of his books?
I have not.
Okay, well, anyway, he's got a fictitious game warden named Mike Bowditch, who's always getting in all kinds of hot water, and he's fascinating plots, but he always fashions his books after things that actually happened in the state, because he gives it a new twist and embellishes it and fictionalizes it, but there's always a root of truth in a lot of the things, and he in this latest book, the theme of his book revolves around a big controversy that happened back when Joel Wilkinson was the colonel, warden of the warden service. And there was a poaching ring in Aroostook County where they sent an undercover warden, and then the Portland Press Herald did this pretty unbalanced expose on what happened up there. And the warden, it was pretty hard on the warden's reputation. And, of course, it endangered his life because it revealed his identity. And in the book, Paul Doiron sort of gets into that. It got me thinking the other day. I remember after that big controversy, the Maine Warden Service announced that they were closing down any covert operations, if you will. And then the other day I emailed the department and asked them, are those still closed down? Basically, what they said is, not really. If there's an organizational need for an undercover operation, if there's a major poaching ring of some kind, there's always a possibility that there may be some undercover operations. Do you have any knowledge of that? Is that anything you get involved with the Warden Service? And what are your thoughts about it?
I do not, Paul, but to be perfectly honest with you, even if I had knowledge of it, I wouldn't discuss it, only because it would be an ongoing investigation. It's very difficult to get tips. So when we do get them, we treat them, as I had said earlier, with complete confidentiality, because if you get these and you don't follow up on them, these folks won't call back again.
That's right.
And I'll also, another thing that I think is really important for you to know, we get probably 70% of our tips that come in have nothing to do with collecting a reward. They 70% that we get say donate the reward back to Maine OGT.
Oh, do they?
Put it back into the system.
Okay.
So it's not something that I would be able to comment on, even if I did have knowledge about it.
Yeah. Well, I guess I wasn't asking for any specific investigation. I was just curious as to your philosophy or your thinking on the idea of an undercover operation by a Maine game warden. I'm glad to hear that potential is there, that they haven't just made a blanket decision never to use it. I think if you had a major poaching operation, if there was a bunch that were poaching moose, for example, selling the meat or whatever, if it took an undercover operation to stop it, so be it. That would be my view. But I'm just curious as to your view.
Yep, I will tell you this. There's two things I'll say about that. First of all, Maine OGT has been part of several different operations, what you're referring to.
Yeah.
And the second thing that I tell you, you asked about my philosophy. My philosophy is very, very simple. To us, poaching is no different than stealing food off from a shelf.
You bet.
That's how we feel about it.
Yeah. But it's thievery. No question about it.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. So
it also takes away from the legal sportsmen that pay good money, you know, to go on these hunts, not only for their license fees and permit fees, but for guides, you know, and stuff like that. It hurts them.
Yeah, you bet. How do you raise raise funds in order to support Operation Game Thief? How do you raise your funds?
Well, this has been a very, very difficult year for us, as it has been for everybody. We have some major fundraisers that we obviously have not been able to do this year. In the spring, we have an annual banquet, which is one of our major fundraisers. We do a softball game called the Northwoods Throwdown, which is between the Maine Game Wardens and the New Hampshire Conservation Officers, and that's a second fundraiser that we have, a major fundraiser. We also do a annual shoot in the fall. Typically, we've done it at Scarborough Fish and Game, which is our third major fundraiser. We also have many other ways that we raise funds between selling Maine OGT apparel, and we also get donations from the public as well as some restitution for violators as well.
Okay, do you
this year has been very, very difficult because we're pretty much dead in the water as far as fundraising goes.
Yeah, because of the COVID-19 thing, yeah.
Correct.
Okay. If somebody wants to contact Operation Game Thief, can they give you an anonymous tip, or do they have to identify themselves?
No, they can give us an anonymous tip. There's two ways to do it. They can call our 800 number, which is 1-800-ALERT-US, or they can enter a submission on our website, which is www.maineogt.org. Either way, they can submit information.
Okay, so if folks at home, if you want to jot that number down, it's 1-800-ALERT-US. Right, Greg?
Correct.
Okay.
And I would also urge your listeners, Paul, to take part in our social media platforms and like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That would be very, very beneficial for us. It'll get us more exposure if they do that.
Okay. So let's say Operation Game Thief has a recording device. If I call in and report a poacher, it would be recorded, and then what happens? You or somebody else picks it up and passes it on to the warden service?
No, it's not recorded. It actually goes to a live dispatch 24/7.
Oh, does it?
The dispatcher will take the call and then dispatch it to the field.
Okay. That would be like the Maine State Police?
We have a county dispatch that receives our calls, yes.
Okay. So all the calls are received in real time live?
That's correct.
I see.
24/7.
Oh, okay. That's great. Another question I have, I guess it's a question or a comment. I think equally as bad as poaching deer or moose or whatever, I think of, you know, the bucket stalkers. I think they're a terrible thing that's happening to the state. And I remember a few years ago I did a piece on that, and at that point they had never arrested a bucket stalker. Is that still the situation? Are they hard to catch?
No, we do pretty much any natural resource that's out there. I mean, we've done fish, we've done eagles, we've done deer, moose, bear, pretty much anything. If it walks or swims and it's in the wild, we've dealt with it.
Yeah. Do you have any knowledge that a person who put invasive fish illegally into a body of water has ever been found, caught, and arrested or served a subpoena? I mean, a citation.
Yes.
Have there been cases where people have been charged, prosecuted?
There have. There's not a lot of them because it's very hard to prove.
Yeah.
But there has been some cases.
Okay. All right. Operation Game Thief, a good program. And again, the number if you would like to report a poaching violation is 1-800-ALERT-US. And what's the website again, Greg?
It's www.maineogt.org.
Okay. And you're also receptive to donations if people want to make them during this dry spell you're having with fundraising, right?
Absolutely. They can do that right on our website. And if I may, Paul, before you go, one last thing. There's another organization that we're very heavily involved with that I want the public to know about. It's called the IWC, which is International Wildlife Crime Stoppers. It's essentially a national organization of Operation Game Thief that includes Canada as well. people can Google the International Wildlife Crime Stoppers and take a look at their website. They are a great organization. We're a strategic partner with them, and we're very, very pleased to be affiliated
okay.
with them.
We are out of time, Greg, but it's certainly been interesting and educational. We appreciate you being here. Good luck to you.
Thanks for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg. Okay, our guest next week will be Chris Boone, who's going to tell you about a cougar sighting, and we'll see you all next week right here on Maine Outdoors.